I am Marie Rice. I am interviewing William Bauer, who was a longshoreman in San Francisco. When did you start working on the waterfront?
1925.
Tell me what it was like to work in the Blue Book Union.
Well, the union was not so good to work for because the union belonged to the company. And if you didn't do the right thing on the waterfront, like Dakota said, you didn't stay long enough to work even all day and all night. You didn't work the next day or the next week. So you had to be careful of what you do in the Blue Book days. Now, I guess the Sailors Union on the Pacific had the same trouble as we did, so nobody liked it. And I finally got out of that and went down to the dollar dock. Worked in the car gang. And I can't remember the name of the foreman that was in the car gang then. But I took over down there after a while, and we made pretty fair money all the way around, till later on when it gets so that instead of it taking the cargo out of the boxcars, putting it on the dock, the stevedores took it right out of the boxcars and put it on the ship. And then we lost out. We didn't make much money. So I couldn't take that because I had a wife to support and a child. I went back and told him I couldn't take it, so it took me 2 days to get it back in the gang. But then I got in with Brown. His name was Anarchist Brown. That's what we called him. And he wasn't a bad guy. He worked. And he asked me to stay steady, and I did. And I worked in Brown's gang right up until the 34 strike on the waterfront.
You said nobody liked working for the Blue Book Union. Tell me why.
Well, the business agents was coming around too often. I wanted more money here and more money there. So they didn't like it. Of course, they didn't have nothing to say. Everything was company owned, so you couldn't say much. You just had to be pretty quiet. And usually we were till the strike hit.
Did you work long hours?
Sometimes, not too often, but sometimes you worked long hours. And we worked with two ships down at 39 sometimes, and well, you worked overtime, but you got paid straight time. Company union didn't know much, believe much in overtime. It was all straight time. What I remember about the Blue Book days. Well, I don't wasn't too often. We was working the dollar dock night and day. And usually on Thursday nights we worked all night and finished the ship around 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And we asked Brown if we were gonna go home, and he says we gonna go down to P-39. I don't remember the name of those ships. There was three big ships all the time coming in there at those times. And we had to finish them up and work them, and that took time, took hours. And boy, I was working, remember now that Emil Larsen was the foreman. Send us down, he was the head of it more or less, I think. He sent me down, no, this was on the dollar dock. Yeah, I remember dollar dock. Because I asked him to take over, I gotta go toilet. He said that I went home and went to sleep. And I guess he figured out something happened to me, and he got somebody else to run the business. I don't know if I got paid or not. That's so far off now, but I don't know. They couldn't pay him because he was the big boss. And I slept 2 days. Straight through, I didn't even know where I was when I woke up. Now, looking back, we worked late and didn't get paid for it. Overtime, we're supposed to have overtime, but we didn't get it. We got straight time. And the union says, well, we take it up and find out what's wrong. They didn't come back and says, no, we didn't have overtime coming, and that was it. You couldn't do any more about it than that. Unless then you get kicked out of the union. So that stopped there. Well, you just had to work it, and thank God you had the job, that's all.
How were men hired for their jobs in the Blue Book Union?
You go down to the pier where the ship is, and you stayed outside till the foreman or the superintendent of the dock, whoever it was, come out and says, you. And that's the way you get hired there. We never went near the union because that was not good to us anyway. So we stayed outside up here. And that's the way we were hired on all of them. I really don't know how it started. But we were working on the dollar dock the last night before the strike. An anarchist Brown was in and around, and he come down and he started to raise Cain. You guys shouldn't go on a strike. There's no money in it, and you never make it, and you're going to get loose in the end. And we told him to shut up and dry up because you don't know what you're talking about. We going out, and that's all there is to it. And there's two fellas that I walked out with. They says, you want to see some fun, Bill? I says, yeah, sure, what is it? We're going to wait for Brown here and going to fix him up. But I don't know if they did or not, because I took off and went home.
Tell me the first time you met Harry Bridges, and what kind of a man was he in the early days?
In the early days, well, I didn't know Harry in the earlier days. We went down to Lookingback Dock and got a job there, and he was working the Lookingback ships in a hole. And I went down in a hole there for a couple of days, and that's how I met Harry Bridges. But I'll say one thing. He turned out to be the best man I'd ever come to San Francisco as far as the longshoremen's are concerned.
Tell me about the 34 strike.
Well, all I can say is what I remember, and that's to be all. Met with our bosses and went down in a, whatever that was we went, I don't remember now. But the bosses told us we had to go to our own piers where we worked. Now, we worked steady on dollar, you go down to the dollar dock. If you worked on the Admiral line, you go to the Admiral line dock, and so on all the way down the line. Then we had meetings, quite a few meetings, and we had men out to check us, and then they give us strike cards. And you had to go and if they come down, like a business, he didn't come down, he wanted to see your strike card, you had to show it to him, and he write down, you are here. And that's what went on until the strike was over. Then we had, I remember once we had a meeting in San Francisco City Hall, I think it was, one of the big civic auditorium in San Francisco. And Ryan from the East Coast were there. He was the president of the ILA in New York. And he took over, he was going to tell us that we have to go back and we joined the ILA, and he's going to do the right thing with this and that. And we told him politely, well, everybody, not me or anybody, true, we were all there. And they got up and says, you go back to New York where you belong. You don't belong out here. We don't need Ryan or anybody else out here. We got one man, and we want him now to come up. We got Harry Bridges. So Harry came up there. And there's a few of us. We asked him point blank if he belongs to the party. He says, heck no, I'm no fool. But he says, if I can settle this strike, I'll ask the commies to help us or any other person to help us. I've been asking every union in San Francisco to give us support, and they did. In the end, we had a general strike in San Francisco, and that settled everything. And I'll say, the best man I ever hit, the longshoreman, was Harry Bridges. Thank you.
Why did the men like Harry Bridges so much?
Well, he told the truth. He told us everything that's going on this morning. Some of them did when they got up there. Of course, we had a lot of good men. We had Bulky, we had Henry Smith, we had quite a few. But they couldn't get Harry out. He was there and he stayed there till the day he retired. And I think him and I are about the same age. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I have heard that Henry Schmidt has been proven to be a communist. Have you ever heard that?
No, I have never heard anything about Henry Schmidt being a communist or Bulky or anyone else. Whoever said that, he should have come through a hole and told us that. But everything we had, we never heard anything like it. And to this day, I don't believe any of them belong to it. Oh, we had some in the union that belonged to the party, all right, but they were so small they didn't amount to anything.
In what ways is the ILWU union better than the Blue Book Union?
In the Blue Book Union, if they ever had a meeting where the members was up there, I think the only men they ever went to the Blue Book Union would be the gang bosses. Because I don't think very many, I know I never did, because what's the use to go there? You had nothing to say. You couldn't voice what you wanted to say. When the ILWU come in, we were asked a lot of questions, and we can answer those questions. Even to this day, you can do that. And everybody works together like there should be done. And it is still being done now. Thank you.
The next speaker is Marie Bauer, wife of Bill Bauer.
I, as a longshoreman's wife of 50 years, have been very interested in my husband's work and the unions. The Blue Book Days company union were hard working times and conditions. Pay was poor, 68 cents an hour, no overtime, and very few benefits. Depression was creeping upon us, so the docks were full of unemployed longshoremen looking for work. Now the ship owners had their choice of men, so they picked the strongest men to work the clock around. If they could not work the long hours, they would be left out. Work was scarce. My husband was one of the lucky ones to be employed, working from Monday to Friday without rest or sleep. These were the conditions in the Blue Book days. The men needed a better union, and they wanted Harry Bridges to lead them. He was a fine speaker and very fair with the needs of the longshoremen. The longshoremen assured him they would support him in every way. Unsatisfactory negotiations resulted in the 1934 strike, which lasted 3 months. There were a few riots, and tear gas was used, and two men were killed. The militia was posted on each dock. Then the general strike was called in San Francisco, which ended the waterfront strike quickly. It was a hard strike for all, but a better union was formed, and Harry Bridges became our president. There was some dispute about Harry Bridges. It was proven in two courts he was never a communist. He never took bribes from anyone. He personally kept his salary low because he lived moderately. He was elected our president over and over. Later years, he was our international president. Through the years, Harry Bridges had won for his union good, safe working conditions, time and a half after 6 hours of work, equal work hours for all, hospitalization and medical benefits for husband and wife for life, paid vacations, pensions, and now pensions for widows for life. Harry Bridges is out of it now, but he can be seen at most of the meetings as an advisor. At his 75th birthday, he was given a retirement reception in San Francisco by his men, ship owners, and also foreign ship owners, as well as his men attended, and he was given the highest praise of any union leader.
This tape has been recorded in August 1980. Postscript, William Bauer retired in 1966.